Janmashtami, dear sisters and brothers. The Paripurna avatar, the cowherd Krishna, Partha Sarathi, the beloved of Vrindavan, was born on this very Ashtami day in the month of Shravana during the Dwapar Yuga. Birth of the Supreme Lord happens very rarely when the world calls on to Him with deep devotion, love and fervor. When the Lord does decide to descend, one cannot imagine the kind of jubilation that must have filled the air. And like our very own Sai, the blue-hued Krishna too was born in Brahma Muhurtam. It was during the Krishna Paksha, the dark fortnight of the month, that our effulgent Lord was born, revealing to mankind rather wondrously the greater potency of light in times of darkness. In a world of disorder, Krishna was born to establish order. His advent signified the dispelling of darkness, the removal of troubles, banishing of ignorance, and teaching mankind the supreme wisdom. To celebrate this auspicious day, let us reminisce His love and light that He shared with the world in this segment through the many stories narrated by our beloved Lord in His discourses. So from the studios of Radio Sai, this is Chandu Vijay and you're listening to Love to Love.
बिसरा गयो मोरी रे गोपाला एक बांसुरी वाला सुध बिसरा गयो मोरी रे माखन चोर जो नंद किशोर कर गयो मन की चोरी रे गोपाला एक बांसुरी वाला सुध बिसरा गयो मोरी रे माखन चोर जो नंद किशोर कर गयो मन की मोरी रे गोपाला एक बांसुरी वाला पनघट पे मोरी भैया मरोड़ी मैं कछु बोलू तो मटकी फोड़ी पनघट पे मोरी भैया मरोड़ी मैं कछु बोलू तो मटकी फोड़ी भैया पड़ू करो फिर दी मैं पर पैया
एक बांसुरी वाला सुध बिसरा गयो मोरी रे गोपाला, एक बांसुरी वाला सुध बिसरा गयो मोरी रे। माखन चोर जो नंद किशोर कर गयो मन की मोरी रे गोपाला, एक बांसुरी वाला छिप गयो फिर एक तान सुना कर, तान सुना कर छिप गयो फिर एक तान सुना कर, कहाँ गयो गोकुल ढूंढा मथुरा ढूंढा, गोकुल ढूंढा मथुरा ढूंढा, कोई नगरिया न छोड़ी रे गोपाला, एक बांसुरी वाला सुध बिसरा गयो मोरी रे। माखन चोर जो नंद किशोर कर गयो मन की मोरी रे गोपाला, एक बांसुरी वाला।
वेलकम बैक डियर लिसनर्स। To start with, what does the name Krishna mean? Swami speaks of triple attributes of the name of Lord Krishna. Swami says, Karshiyati iti Krishna. The one who plows is Krishna. What does he plow? The heart of his devotees, of course. Our heart symbolizes a field. That which is barren and empty is filled with love. As we sow the seeds of the Lord's name, the Lord takes care of such a field, protects us from unnecessary pests and weeds, which are the vices of illusory world. Secondly, he says, Akarshati iti Krishna. The one who attracts is Krishna. Krishna has the supreme power of attraction. Through his words, his sport, his music and all of his actions, he attracts the whole world. Swami also adds, this power of attraction is present in everyone, and hence, everyone is potentially a Krishna. And thirdly, Swami says, Kushyati iti Krishna. The one who imparts bliss is Krishna. Everyone seeks happiness. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to recognize the source of bliss within us. In fact, haven't we heard him remark very often that it is not the true nature of man to be unhappy? When anyone is otherwise, people around him are concerned about him. You should always be happy because you are the embodiment of the Atma. Never give way to worry. As a spark of the divine, you have to behave like the divine. Do not give room for grief. Treat all things as gifts from God, for you are the custodian and not the owner, says Swami.
Hey. पाला
गिरिधारी गोपाला
केशव माधव गोपाला
केशव माधव गोपाला
केशव माधव गोपाला
गोपाला
Welcome back, dear listeners. While the following story is a little too familiar to all of us, the story as such is so soaked in the beauty and bhava that it seems fit to relive the love between a devotee and the Lord on this auspicious day. And this is the story of King Parikshit. It was a time when Parikshit had just been born. Everyone in the Pandava household were overjoyed as it was a welcoming change after the aftermath of the great war. The little baby too looked eagerly and intently at everyone who visited him. Always surprised at this strange behavior, while some believed that he was searching for his father, others believed that he was looking for Krishna. Whatever it was, he was examining every face, and so even before the naming ceremony, he was called as Parikshit, the one who examines. On the day of naming ceremony, as Rajas and Rishis of various order were present, so was Sri Krishna. Youngest of the Pandava brothers Sahadeva had laid the child in the middle of the court hall in the sacrificial enclosure. No amount of festoons, fervor and people captured little Parikshit's attention. His eyes were fixated on the Lord. The child in a little while rose up on his all fours and started crawling and refused to stay put despite the efforts of the maids and even Sahadeva. So after gaining his freedom, little Parikshit immediately crawled towards the dais to where Krishna was seated. You know, let us take a moment here, dear sisters and brothers. What riveting spectacle, what beauty of love, what ardent inquiry was that? Isn't that the moment that every devotee of the Lord aspires for? And here was little Parikshit, a recently born baby, aching, aspiring and reaching for just that. As if meeting someone whom he was acquainted for long, the baby went towards Krishna and grasped his feet, pleading with his looks to be lifted and placed in the divine lap. Seeing the yearning of the young child, Krishna laughed, picked him up and placed him on his lap. The child sat there, lost in his vision, just staring at Lord Krishna's face. And Krishna, as usual, wanted to test baby Parikshit. So the Lord started to distract him with various toys, hiding from his view. But Parikshit was not deterred. He kept his glance on the Lord and didn't give in to any distraction whatsoever. And that is when Lord Krishna declared, "This is no ordinary child. He has won through my tests. He lives up to his name already." Sage Vyasa, who was present there, suddenly recalled the story of how Lord Krishna saved the child and Uttara's womb from Ashwatthama's arrow, and how the child since then had been eager to see his savior. With tears of joy, the Pandava brothers paid homage to the Lord, their savior.
Shamanandalal Namo Dharaya. ഗോപാല ഘനശ്യാമനന്ദന
Welcome back, dear listeners. Our beloved Swami, in one of his discourses, listed the differences between Lord Ram and Lord Krishna. Swami says, when Dharma was showing signs of decline, Rama appeared to protect Dharani, the earth, Dharmapatni, his consort, and Dharma, righteousness. By the time of Krishna avatar, the forces of wickedness had grown to greater proportions. Krishna was not concerned much about the earth or the wife. His main concern was with Dharma, because when Dharma is firmly established, the earth and the Dharmapatni are also duly protected. Swami says that is why we call Ram as Maya Manusha Vigraha, that is Maya in human form. He laments over the loss of Sita. In Krishna avatar though, women were in distress for the sake of Krishna. If Rama was provoked to take arms against the evildoers, Krishna provoked the conflict and fought the evildoers. In Rama avatar, duty came first and joy later. In Krishna avatar, joy came first and then came duty. So the difference between the Maya avatar of Ram and the Leela avatar of Krishna is simple. Krishna was always immersed in bliss, whether it was the burial ground or a battlefield or a heaven of peace. He remained the same, says Swami. In the Krishna Janmashtami discourse of 1990, Swami remarked, Krishna was standing between two immense opposing armies and he sang a song. That is the Bhagavad Gita. Would it be possible for anyone to sing in such a situation? One sings only when one is happy. Krishna, because he was the embodiment of joy, could sing even on the battlefield. When someone comes to Swami and says that he is suffering from an unbearable stomachache, Swami says, Anandam, Anandam, that is happy, happy. When a woman comes wailing over the loss of a husband, Swami says, Chala Santosham, that is very happy. Because Swami is always in a state of bliss. Happiness is the very nature of the divine. What is the use of lamenting over anything? All things are passing clouds. Nothing is lasting. Why then bewail over any loss? You should not bother about them. This is the teaching of the avatar. Don't feel distressed over anything that may happen, says Swami. You know, if you look at the inner meaning of the last stanza of the Gita, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partho Dhanuthara, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. It says, the heart in which the Lord of Yoga dwells, where there is the courage and strength that Arjuna represented, all prosperity and success are assured.
श्वास है, हरि ही है मन।
अंत समय में
हरि ही पास हो अंत समय में
हरि ही पास हो अंत समय में
हरि ही पास हो अंत समय में
जन्म मरण के काट बंधन
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 हर तुम ही तुम ही जीवन का दर्शन
हरि तुम ही जीवन का दर्शन
हरि ही श्वास है हरि ही है मन
हरि ही श्वास है हरि ही है मन
हरि का नाम सुमिर सब धंधे
छोड़ हो के ये सब धंधे
हर ही पास हो अंत समय में
हर ही पास हो अंत समय में
जन्म मरण के काटे बंधन
जन्म मरण
हरि तुम ही हरि तुम ही
हरि तुम
हरि
Welcome back, dear listeners. On the Gokulashtami day of 1991, our beloved Bhagwan shared an important lesson through a poignant story, something that is very pertinent to note for all of us sadhakas. Once when King Vikramaditya was going round his country in disguise to find out what the people were doing, he noticed an old Brahmin performing a yajna. Apparently, as the yajna had been performed over many years, a huge mound of ash had come up near the sacrificial fireplace. And Vikramaditya asked the old Brahmin what he was doing. And he replied, I have been performing a yajna for the past 60 years. This mound that you see is the accumulated ash from that yajna. Though I have been ceaselessly performing this yajna, I have not yet had a vision of the Yajna Purusha, or the Lord of the Sacrifice. So King Vikramaditya was deeply moved by the anguished utterance of the old man. So he sat in meditation himself. He performed a severe penance. Despite his long penance, he could not have a vision of the Yajna Purusha. So he felt, of what use is all the penance I have performed? If I cannot get the grace of the Lord, what use is there in living? And thinking this way, he took out his sword and decided to end his purposeless existence if he could not have the vision of the Lord. So addressing the Yajna Purusha, he said, If you will not appear before me, I am offering my life to you. And as he drew his sword to offer his head, the Yajna Purusha appeared before him and seized the sword from the king's hand. He addressed the king and said, O Vikramaditya, this is sahasa, that is an act of recklessness, and not a spiritual offering, that is sadhana. And he continued to say, Where am I? As Vaishwanara, I am dwelling in all the beings. Is it a sign of spirituality for you to seek, on the one hand, externally a vision of the divine who is within you, and on the other to put an end to your life because you do not have a vision of the divine that is in you? This kind of act savors of rajasic tendency. A real devotee should not resort to such desperate actions. To realize me, what you need to practice is love and not reckless courage. Whatever you see, whatever you do, be conscious of the all-pervading divine. Only then work will be transformed into worship. And the Yajna Purusha continued to say, What this old Brahmin has been doing for 60 years is mumble the words of the mantra without understanding their meaning. He did not invite my presence with all his heart and soul. I present myself to the one who prays for me with all his heart and with harmony in thought, word and deed. What a beautiful story, dear listeners, that emphasizes the role of spiritual sadhana. He lets us understand that we should not confuse sahasa with sadhana.
Sunayana hi nandana nayana sunayana Thank you.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Let us revisit Dwapara Yuga through another beautiful story. During the Mahabharata war, Dharmaja, the eldest of the Pandava brothers, was engaged in a fierce battle with Karna. The Pandava forces could not withstand the missiles coming from Karna and they were fleeing. And Dharmaja retired to his tent in great anguish, unable to bear reverses in the battle. So on seeing Arjuna enter his tent, Dharmaja burst out that all his prowess and the power of his mighty bow Gandiva had been utterly useless. As he continued in the fit of rage, unable to suffer these accusations, Arjuna lifted his Gandiva to strike Dharmaja. At that very moment, Krishna appeared and tried to pacify Arjuna. He said, "Arjuna, it is not right to raise your arm against your elder brother. The primary trait of brothers is to show respect towards elders and earn their regard. Forgetting your duty, you have allowed yourself to be provoked by words and yielded to wrongful action. How kind is our merciful Lord, correcting our every actions, reminding us the importance of Daivapriti, Papabhiti and Sanganiti." So, assuaged by Krishna's appeal and accepting his wise counsel, Arjuna retired to his tent. Now, proceeding next to Dharmaja's tent and seeing the agony he was experiencing, Krishna bent down and held Dharmaja's feet. He said, "Dharmaja, it is not fitting that an elder brother like you should behave in this fashion. It is not right that you should blame your younger brother Arjuna in such a strong language. Now, you may have used these words only in a fit of anger, but Pandava brothers are an example to the world in brotherly love and should not allow discord to mar your unity. The Pandavas are looked upon as an ideal. You should live up to that reputation. Therefore, you must go immediately to Arjuna and seek his forgiveness." So, listening to Krishna's loving words, Dharmaja was in tears. He said, "Swami, for you, the support and sustainer of the world, to hold my feet makes me feel ashamed." So begging Krishna to forgive him, Dharmaja marched to Arjuna too to ask for forgiveness. So dear listeners, isn't that what our beloved Bhagwan does for all of us too? Coming to our level and showering his love like that of 1,000 parents. I remember a beautiful incident that was narrated to me by a friend of mine, who said that on the night before her wedding, she was complaining to Swami that the hours of the Mehendi session that went on the previous day had made her hands very sore. And she was telling Swami how much pain I had to suffer just for this wedding. And dear listeners, that night Bhagwan appeared in her dream and massaged her hands. That is our beloved Swami. You know, Swami remarks, while God sets an example in humility and reverence, on occasions, the Lord can be harsh and relentless too. He will declare the truth without mincing his words. For example, when Dharmaja wanted to perform the Rajasuya Yajna after getting approval of the citizens and the ministers and priests, while seeking Krishna's blessings, Krishna smiled and said, "Only a supreme sovereign ruler whose sovereignty is accepted by all rules in the country can perform such a yajna. And you are not such a sovereign emperor. There are quite a few rulers like Shishupala, Jarasandha and Dantavakra who do not recognize your power. As long as there are such kings, you are not qualified to perform the Rajasuya yajna." He told Dharmaja that if he wanted to perform the Rajasuya yajna, he should first conquer those powerful rulers. Dharmaja then took counsel with his brothers and effected the conquest of Shishupala, Jarasandha and others. When the Rajasuya Yajna began, each of the brothers were allotted a specific function. And Krishna also approached Dharmaja respectfully and pleaded for some function to be assigned to him. Krishna said, "As the world says it, you are Dharmaja, you are the overlord, and I, Krishna, I am a subject. Hence, please assign to me some task in this yajna." Dharmaja was very distressed listening to this and he replied, "I owe everything to you, Lord. You are the ruler and I am only your servant." And to which Krishna said, "What you have said is as a devotee, and it is true. But from the worldly point of view, as a king, you have to respect the obligations prescribed for the king. You must distinguish your obligations to God and your secular duties as a ruler." This distinction is as true today as it was in the olden days. Swami says, "Individual freedom and fundamental freedom are distinct things. What relates to the affairs of state should not be linked with one's personal concerns." Krishna urged that he should be allotted a specific task. And Dharmaja said, "Krishna, you take up any assignment that you like." So Krishna said, "For taking up any assignment of my choice, I need not ask you. I wish to do what you would like me to do." So the argument between the two went on for a while. And ultimately Krishna said, okay, he would like to be responsible for receiving the scholars and the priests who would be attending the yajna. And he would want to wash their feet and doing all the honors for them. So why should Krishna, who was such a great and powerful personality, take upon himself such a humble task as washing the feet of pandits? The model is very clear, dear listeners. One who aspires to be a leader should show qualities of leadership in every field. It was to set an example to the world in every sphere that Krishna undertook many tasks and never considered anything as too small or trivial. Out of his boundless love for the Pandavas, and on account of his deep concern for the preservation of the unity and brotherly love, Krishna did several things which cannot be easily understood. In fact, on one occasion, he even carried the sandals of Draupadi when he advised her to seek Bhishma's blessings to save her husband from destruction. So, dear listeners, in the divine game, there are no differences. He views everything with the same divine love. He does not examine whether one is great or small.
Janam maran bhaya hari.
जय गोवर्धन धारी गोपाला राधा हृदय विहारी गोपाला जय गोवर्धन धारी गोपाला जन्म मरण भयहारी गोपाला
जन्म मरण भयहारी गोपाला
मीरा प्रभु गिरिधारी गोपाला
मीरा प्रभु गिरिधारी गोपाला
प्रति विहारी साई गोपाला प्रभु साई गोपाला जय गोवर्धन धारी गोपाला
Welcome back, dear listeners. Now let us recall one of those stories from our young Krishna's life, who very much like our beloved Swami, chose instances to reveal his divinity. Sage Garga, as all know, was highly respected by both the Pandavas and the Kauravas. He was the Kula Guru, family preceptor of Nanda and the Yadavas. He was a great scholar replete with knowledge and wisdom. He went to the house of Nanda and Yashoda for the naming ceremony of the two babies. And while recalling this story, Swami remarked, there are very few esoteric matters that are not widely known. Incarnations generally occur in three categories, of Shukla, that is white, Aruna, that is orange, and Pita, that is yellow. But here was a baby who was black. And hence Garga considered and found the name Krishna, which means black, as most appropriate. Now after the naming ceremony, Sage Garga narrated several episodes that were to take place in the life of the child. After staying on to experience and enjoy some of them, he departed. After a while, Sage Garga visited Nanda's house again to see Krishna. He was a very austere person who was used to preparing his food with his own hands. He would not eat food even touched by anybody else. Yashoda therefore provided a secluded place for him to prepare his meal. So he asked for a little flour, jaggery and milk to prepare his meal. So Sage Garga put the constituents into a vessel and prepared some sweet pudding and, as was his practice, offered it to Vishnu before partaking of it. And suddenly, The little boy Krishna dashed into the room and started eating the sweet pudding in the vessel. Sage Garga, who was praying, opened his eyes and found the child eating the food that he had prepared for himself. So he immediately called Mother Yashoda and told her, "Mother, do you see what your son Gopal is doing? I am hungry and he has eaten the food before I could." So Yashoda caught hold of Krishna and scolded him for his actions, saying, "Don't you know that the venerable sage Garga is the guru of our clan and you have defiled his food? Is it not our duty to honor our guests in a befitting manner?" That's when Krishna replied, saying, "Mother, I have not done anything on my own. It was he himself who called me to eat the pudding." So Yashoda asked sage Garga why he called Krishna, whom he had kept safely away. Then Garga protested, saying he had not called Krishna. And Krishna again said, "O sage, why are you uttering a falsehood? To whom did you offer the food in prayer before partaking of it? Is it not myself to whom you prayed? How can you offer everything to me first and then start complaining?" Sage Garga was perplexed for a moment, but he recognized that Krishna was none other than Lord Vishnu himself. He prayed to Vishnu and Krishna responded. So with this realization, Sage Garga was happy to partake of the leftover of the pudding eaten by Lord Krishna.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So we live at a time when we are torn with conflicts. Right from the news on the Syrian war to the culling of stray dogs, there are backlashes and arguments of all kinds happening on the social media. People are debating on the value of human life against other lives. And no topic goes into the oblivion without disagreement. At a time like this, looking back into one of our Lord-sized discourses, it heals all the wounds and ushers clarity. In fact, in a couple of Swami's Krishnashtami discourses, he talks about love for one and all. All of us have taken part year on year in the Mandir festivals, be it Ram Navami, Krishna Janmashtami, or Buddha Purnima, or Christmas. As we all know, usually on the Gokulashtami day, birds and animals are brought to Bhagwan's presence and he very sweetly pets them and feeds them, right? Now, with that scene playing in our minds, let us revisit those momentous discourses once again. Swami says, "The Gita says one must live without hatred to all beings. Adveshta sarva bhutanam." But that is not enough, says our beloved Bhagwan. Then he continues, "A wall has no hatred towards any being, but is that the ideal? No, you must positively love all beings, actively love, actively engage yourself in the acts of love. That alone wins the grace you crave for." In another discourse, on the 3rd of September 1988, Swami pointed out, "Bharat is the land in which the tender tulsi plant and the giant banyan tree are worshipped with equal devotion. Cows, horses, elephants and other animals are treated as sacred objects of worship. Even ants are considered worthy of care and protection, and rice flour or sugar is offered to them every day. Crows and eagles, dogs and monkeys are deemed worthy of worship. The world might below it all as superstition, but the land of Bharat considered that the expression of divine love should not be confined to human beings alone, but it should be extended to all beings. This is the great ideal that Bharat has held out to the world." So it is no wonder that the scriptures too have declared, "Sarva jiva namaskaram keshavam pradigacchati." The salutations that you offer to anyone reaches the divine. In the Krishnashtami of 1997 too, Swami draws a parallel with the animal world and says, "Festivals are designed to remind people about the purpose of human life. Devotees who participate in such festivals should learn a lesson from these cows. Absorb as much of the teachings as you can during your stay. Ruminate over them when you go back. Like the cows chewing the cud, ruminate on what you have heard. Do not forget what has been taught here. Try to put into practice what has been taught. Always contemplate on God and make your lives meaningful." So dear listeners, I hope at a time like this, when strives of all kind afflict mankind and other beings alike, that all of us receive the grace of God to act rightly, justly and lovingly to each other. May He guide us to the one love that we all are. May we not only realize Ram and Rahim are one, may we realize every animate and inanimate beings are one. And with that, dear listeners, we are at the end of today's program. At 3:30 p.m., we will have the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jhari. So until next week, this is Chandu Vijay signing off with a prayer. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy, happy and happy. Jai Sai Ram.
step of the way coming closer to you. Stealer of hearts, never set me free. I'm a prisoner of love in all that I do. If you are the king, let me fall to my knees and offer my heart to you. If you are the light, let it shine through me to be a reflection of you. And if you are the goal, let me play the game to win the one heart that's true. That blows me to you. If you are the fire, let me burn in the flame. Let the moth, let me die for you. If you are the heart, let me move to the beat, for the rhythm of true love is you.
Valley, so I can look up at you.